Thank you for joining us today. I'm your host, Tracy Bennett. In studio with me are certified financial planners, Tyler Cook and Tony Payne. What's up, guys? We're back at it.
We are.
Another fun day.
Yep. This is a tough one for me. We're talking number soup on this one. And we were kind of making jokes earlier about a trend on the social media called 6-7. Now it's gonna, yeah. And I still don't understand it, but now I'm going to connect it with this stuff.
We'll get the kids saying 179. That's the
perfect
goal of the
yeah.
show.
Yeah,
exactly. We're gonna be talking section 179 to strengthen your financial plan. So let's first say, what is it?
Yeah, it's fun IRS lingo. So the section 179 deduction is a code, right, of the IRS law that allows business owners to essentially accelerate their expenses and recognize expenses in 1 year when they put some equipment or software into use versus having to expense it over multiple years, which is called depreciation. So, it's very technical in terms of the IRS, but we're going to talk about it more in the strategy of how business owners can leverage this to manage their tax bill.
Well, and if you've ever wondered too, you know, where does 401k, 403b, 529, all these, again, letter soup, number soup out there, but it comes from where it is in the tax code. So when they pass a tax bill and somewhere buried in there that some congressperson didn't read probably is a paragraph that said, here's that how happens. You've seen save for retirement. And you know what? You can save and you can deduct this, or you can accelerate this expense, or maybe you can buy a truck. And if you buy that truck, we'll let you get away with it scot-free. And we'll elaborate on what I mean by that later. But these are the things that are in those tax bills that all of a sudden they get coded, and there's letters, numbers that go with them. And that's what we're talking about to say, can you take advantage of Section 179? That's how this comes about.
Is it something that you have to qualify for?
So the purchase has to qualify for it. So whatever you're buying for your business, there's stipulations on whether it's equipment or they added software into it. Now, this deduction has been around for a while, but they keep tweaking it.
You did say one of them, though. You have to have a business.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. This is for business owners, right, yeah. This is not having to go buy my own car, and then on your personal tax return,
okay.
There's a
okay.
179 line to put it. So yeah, so the think of like a car is a popular one. So you know, business owners will buy a vehicle. There's also there used to be weight limits. In fact, I don't know if there still are weight limits requirements for some deductions. But the big thing is it has to be used over 50%, at least 50% of the time for that vehicle has to be used for business purposes. And so that requires more documentation as the business owner, making sure you're doing it right. Software is another one. So we work with a lot of dentists, and a lot of them had to redo their computer software for the whole office. You know, each thing you go to the dentist, right, and each bay has their own computers and systems. You got to replace all of that for certain codes and things to be up to snuff with their business, since that can be a huge $50,000 to maybe $100,000 expense. This Section 179 deduction allows you to expense the entire purchase amount in that one tax year. And that, so you're lumping your expenses together versus there are other rules with what are called depreciation rules, which means that if let's use the $100,000 as the example, you might have to depreciate that over 5 to 7 years. There's different timelines, and we won't get too in the weeds with that, but that means you're only able to use a certain percentage of that total expense in 1 year versus the 100% deduction in the year that you put it in service.
Well, it seems to me it would make logical sense to always take advantage of the 179 then.
Is it always available? That's the question, though. That's where the IRS comes in and our lawmakers passing new tax bills, things like that, because it's not always there.
You mean it goes away from year 1 year to the next?
Yeah, well, it changes. Yeah.
Or it just changes.
Yeah, correct.
There may be examples.
My literal sense just kicked in. Sorry.
Yeah. No, that's great.
No, you hit on one earlier, Tyler, the idea of, the vehicles and the requirements. Sometimes they're ever changing. You know, is it a heavier truck? Is it the heaviest truck? Is it an electric vehicle?
Yep.
You know, there's all kinds of different things back and forth. But when you know in that tax year, here's what qualifies for Section 179, that allows you to say, I'm going to get a great tax benefit by doing this.
Okay. You just answered my next question. Ultimately, speak lay language to me and tell me what is the benefit to doing it this way? Because otherwise, we would want to do it every year.
Yeah, it reduces your income, right? It offsets your income dollar for dollar.
Business income.
Yeah, fill it all the way through to the bottom line. It means you're saving money in taxes. Mm-hmm. That's really it in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm. And the other ones too, Tyler, you mentioned a couple different kinds of businesses, but you think about if you have an office building or a non-residential building, even things like security systems, sprinklers, stuff like that, that you know what, it may have been that annoying expense that you had to do to get up to code, take advantage of it. Make sure you're reviewing that. And that hopefully goes to you have a professional you're working with to give you answers and guidance. And it's not just you trying to guess, am I doing this the right way or not?
And just because this Section 179 thing is available doesn't mean it's always, it's just a sure fit way. That's silver bullet solution. The business has to do it. Like, for, in other words, don't buy a vehicle just because of the Section 179 deduction if you're going to go, you know, have cash flow issues because of it.
Yeah.
You're overspending essentially just to try to get a tax deduction. Same thing we tell people on the personal side. You don't go buy a house just to get the deduction on the mortgage interest, right? That's backwards.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same idea on the business front with the Section 179.
The other, and just to bring it up here, because we're talking about the Section 179 today, but again, it comes back to your business tax return. So there's different lines on there that allow you to reduce your taxable income. Well, another one of those lines, though, is retirement contributions and retirement plan contributions. So in some worlds, we're used to buy more equipment or buy more software. You know what? Let's use this money that's in the business and put it back in there. But if it's truly profit and there's not really a good business need for it, sometimes you feel like your hands are tied. You know what? Maybe I was going to get that new car anyway. I might as well get it. Well, no. If you're able to set up a retirement plan and defer that money for later, well, you didn't have to utilize the Section 179 for anything extra. Use it for what it was good for, what you needed. But then you can use a retirement plan to keep that money too for you.
Yeah, I just had a visual of a business owner going, looking at their book saying, Section 179, new car, or money for retirement. You know, like,
yeah.
I want the new car.
All right, now let me get my spreadsheet out and show you the math on that depreciated car versus that growing portfolio.
Exactly right.
But
exactly.
So we'll do that later.
It sounds to me like there's an opportunity for someone to approach this as though it's some sort of a strategic investment instead of using it for the right reasons, doing it for the right reasons in the business because you need it.
When you say investment, what do you mean specifically?
Investment in the business.
Okay.
Yeah, not investment. Per se.
Yeah. And there's, you have to do that as a business owner. You've got to continue to reinvest in your business. You've got to replace equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're growing. Maybe you do need another vehicle to ship products, whatever it is. So there is.
So they're not just buying it for the tax break.
No, that's what I'm saying. That would be the wrong move. You definitely wouldn't do it just for the tax benefit.
And there are people who do that, just to elaborate, Tracy, on that point. And that's what we're trying to say. That's not always the right move. It's not the right move.
Yeah. Then you're talking overspending.
Yeah.
Putting yourself in the rears.
Or perhaps it's a little aggressive on the planning side and maybe it doesn't really qualify for that deduction even though you're trying to make it qualify.
Right, back to that 50% in the business use.
Yeah.
I mean, it's easy with a $250,000 MRI machine or something like that when you're Section 179-ing that, but then when it's back to your personal Mercedes going to the dentist's office or not, that's where things get tricky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, so I've got a casual question. So what kinds of things count for the decision to do this? Are we talking about laptops and, you know, tables and chairs, or is it like literal equipment, like major equipment?
It's broad categories, right? So and on the IRS website, you can find more details, but the two big categories are equipment and software.
Okay.
So like this is equipment, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your computer's equipment, a vehicle's equipment, a new bulldozer is equipment, right? Just go on the list. There's a lot of things that would qualify for it. So it's something that would be a legitimate need for the business.
So it's not literal, tangible things like paper for your copier and stuff like that.
I would say no.
Yeah.
Right. The consumables, those kinds of things aren't what we're talking about. More something that's going to have that life. Because when we're talking depreciation too, and this is the part sometimes we miss, what happens after I use that vehicle in my business, I've depreciated it all the way down, and I sell it? I have to recapture that depreciation.
What's that mean?
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
So that tax savings you got along the way, remember that great thing you were doing because you wanted to lower your tax bill? Well, that depreciated vehicle that's worth half maybe or less of what you paid for it, when you sell it, you're taking back some of that tax benefit you got. So even though you're getting cash money of, let's say, $9,000, there's going to be a little bit of a tax hit with that for selling the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the piece I think people miss, or they fudge numbers and things, and you don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So treating it the right way and knowing, how am I going to handle this on the back end? That's the other piece too, Tyler, you were saying, where is it always the right move? Even if it's an eligible piece of property, sometimes you have to think through, what's my strategy long term?
That's where the CPA comes in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wholeheartedly. Yep. Okay, using my notes for this one, so pardon me. Strategic planning for purchases. So if the planning insight is to use a Section 179 as part of a coordinated plan and not a standalone tactic, is there a best time to make the purchases to get the most out of the Section 179?
Yeah, it's a great question. This comes into when I always talk about your tax bill being negotiable. That's this exact strategy. Let's use the fourth quarter as an example of any given year. You've had a good year, revenue's all-time highs, expenses have been pretty moderate, You're identifying, let's say, first quarter next year that you're going to have some big expenses come up, like maybe you need to replace the computers. I'll use that example again. Well, if you utilize the Section 179 this calendar year in the fourth quarter and buy that equipment now, you've essentially offset, you know, the income that's coming in from your record high revenues, which again flows through to your bottom line on the business, which means less tax you're paying, versus saying, you know what, I don't need the computers until Q1 of next year. I'll buy them in Q1. No, accelerate the expense now. Use this deduction, the Section 179 deduction, and lower your tax bill. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of planning. So it's the tax planning, we believe it's proactive. It's throughout the year. It's not just in April. With our clients too, we're working on beginning of year, end of year planning, but also it's with business owners, it's constant.
Mm-hmm. And to paint the picture even further, let's say you're hopefully not waiting till December to make that decision. Then the perfect world would be you use something in January, you planned ahead in your business because you're going to get that tax benefit all year, whether it was on the 31st of December, whether it was the 1st of January, it helps you either way. But now you actually have that equipment working for you in your business. Mm-hmm. Because again, if there was really a legitimate need for it, well, get it in service as quick as possible in that given year.
And that's a big requirement to be able to qualify for the Section 179 is it has to be put into service in the year that you purchase it.
We keep talking purchases, but don't people lease equipment too? I mean,
that'd be different, but yes.
Yeah.
So how did you approach that if you're leasing your equipment as opposed to buying?
That's kind of the decision though. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, no, I can't help but think of, you know, your builder, you've got heavy equipment, dozers, all kinds of stuff. I mean, millions of dollars sometimes of equipment. So the idea of, do I have those on my books depreciating maybe, or do I have just, you know what, I can pay somebody and lease those out, and then I don't have to maintain them, store them. You know, there's a lot of stuff that goes along with having equipment. Mm-hmm. Sometimes things break. Sometimes they go missing. You have to insure them too. So the idea of if it's easier to lease it, well, then that's easier. That's better. You have to look at the whole picture, because I know if you had that great year to look at some piece of equipment like you were a kid with a Tonka truck, it's fun sometimes to think I could buy that. It's going to help me on taxes. But if you think about, you know what, that leasing company always has the newest, nicest maintained equipment. Do I need that on my books? That's part of the balance of the Section 179 too. And sometimes if you're just jumping in to buy it all the time, maybe there is a benefit to leasing it, not carrying all those costs. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's an exact question I got with a business to say, should we buy the computers or lease them? So we went through that analysis and mm-hmm. talked through it. And you know, there's pros and cons to that, with depending upon the use and how often they're used. But that's exactly right. You have to analyze what's better for the business first before you just jump to, let's say, let's use the Section 179 deduction.
If you're leasing, is it just a regular tax write-off or is it a Section 179?
No, two separate worlds. So okay. It's just you're able to deduct the lease payment that you're making, mm-hmm. but not the actual full value of the equipment.
That's interesting. Okay, real world applications. So can you share a story or an example of how business used 179 to grow or save money?
Yeah, I tied back into what I was saying just about the computer expense. In that case, it made sense to go ahead and just pay the cash, right? Buy the equipment, in this case, computers, put it into service. And to your point, Tony, I just think about that. Think of an office vibe, right? Everybody gets new computers. That's kind of a, yeah. I don't know how to say it. It's an intangible thing that can be good for morale, can be good for the business, could be good for your customers coming in, seeing you've got the latest and greatest type of things on that you're using. So I think that's the real world application is, first and foremost, can the business afford it? And then it's decision of lease versus buy.
When even I think of some of the more expensive commercial 3D printers out there, where you may have, again, been that traditional business, maybe it's a family business, been around for 80 some years, and you see it, you've got the experience that, you know what, with this new tool, we could go into a different line, we could do things more effectively or efficiently. Man, how do I do this the best way? So to be able to make that purchase and accelerate and save some taxes too while you're doing it, that's one great way to grow the business, be able to make an investment, one that you might not have made or I'll say needed to make, but because you're the entrepreneur, you're risk-taking going, you know what, if I make this investment, I think it's going to make our business grow.
I would assume that most business owners have a team of professionals automatically in place, but there are always those DIY people who think that they can handle it all proficiently. So I would also assume there's a lot of paperwork involved with this. How questionable is it for people to try to do it on their own? I mean, are there deadlines for filing it, the paperwork and so forth?
Yeah, I mean, there's always deadlines. Anything you're with the IRS, right, there's going to be deadlines, not to mention just calendar year deadlines. Mm-hmm. When's your fiscal year for the business? So, I mean, there's some people I can think of right now that could definitely do it on their own. The question is that the best use of their time as the business owner?
Seems like a behemoth to me to try to handle.
I mean, just taxes in general can be for business owners, but especially with new things that come up mm-hmm. and changes. So there's definitely some that could do it, but I don't know if that's necessarily the right move.
Yeah, and if you're listening going, you know what, I could probably fill it in myself and figure it out. I agree. You probably could. Yeah. I mean, there's a reason you're in business, you're successful there, but what happens when you get the nasty gram from the state or the feds or the city? Because they're all options too. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the feds might be the easier ones to deal with, but it's your state that when you get that nasty gram, okay, not only am I trying to run my business, now I'm trying to deal with this. Mm-hmm. And even bringing a professional then might be too late, because you know what, they might have done things a little differently. Now they're unwinding a mess that they wouldn't have made. So again, that's where things really can go out of hand. And like you said, Tyler, if your job is I'm the business owner running this, do you really want to be the accountant?
So if the rules change, if the IRS rules change from time to time, what benefit is there to somebody building their entire plan around the Section 179 process?
Yeah, it's certainly not. It's not a foundation to a plan. It's just an added feature. It's the best way to look at that.
Yeah.
It's an option. It's not a foundational piece to how you're going to plan from a tax perspective.
Yeah, okay. I think this was a great way to be able to cover to say, it's there. Do I always use it? Is it an automatic? No. And do I always buy something? No. So it's these considerations too, hopefully as a business owner, that you're keeping your plan liquid and fluid, because back to your personal plan, what we're doing this for, I think, you want to be able to have independence, either give the business to employees, be reliable for your customers long term. So you don't want to have to rely on squeezing every last thing out of this business. So if you're able to save independently rather than just keep purchasing more and more stuff, that also helps it when you're at transition time to back out of the business.
Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you very much. Yeah. I feel very enlightened.
Did you learn a little bit?
I've gone from 867-5309 to, all right, I understand Section 179 a little bit better. So
yeah, good.
That's it for today. Thanks for joining us, and we hope you catch us on the next topic.
Media. Think big.